Pacifico, Phil Henry.
Well, welcome to the world famous Phil Henry Show here every week, every night, every week, every night, and every week. We are the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. And don't forget, in a couple of weeks, we start the Phil Henry podcast. That's going to be available to you free, because I know we charge for an awful lot on our website. Well, this will be one link through our website that is a free offering, our Phil Henry Presents podcast. Here on the radio show, our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. On Wednesday night, we have a viewing party for a movie that I was a part of. It was shot a couple of summers ago called Last Call. Last Call. It stars Dave Foley's in it, Christopher Lloyd is in it, Tom Arnold is in it, and somewhere way down the cast list is your buddy here, Phil. I'm in it. Look for it. It'll be available soon. It'll be available to view in movie theaters, but knowing that people don't really go to movie theaters that much anymore, it should be available on Netflix or on demand very, very soon. It's called Last Call. And be forewarned, there's a lot of movies called Last Call. All right, couple of things to, we got here John Edwards back in the news, and I think we probably need to talk about him at some point because his trial started today. There's also a series of primaries, five primaries, that the Romney campaign is looking at as being a way of solidifying the Romney lead there in the Republican Party. And one of the people, obviously, that's out on the stump, as they call it, for Governor Romney is his wife, Ann Romney. And she has been the subject of a great deal of interest on the part of commentators because she is giving speeches. She's supporting her husband very, very well. And she's a stay-at-home mom, the source of some conversation I'm having tonight with Father James McCordis. We talked earlier about Ann Romney and the campaign, Father. By the way, are you in a tub? Are you soaking your leg?
Yes, I am. Did you hear about that?
I did, because I heard you guys were playing softball. It was a benefit, right?
Right. It was our charity benefit for Belmar. And we were playing a team of the faculty. I was on the side of the parents and some of our alumni. And I can tell you they put me down a couple of times.
When you say put, they brushed you back, huh?
They brushed me back. And so just trying to take care of... banged up leg here, that's all.
Father McCordis, we're talking to you about the Romney campaign, not so much in terms of politics, but the stay-at-home mom aspect, the Ann Romney aspect. You made a statement to me earlier. You said that there hasn't been a Catholic elected president since Kennedy.
That is correct, yes.
But a Governor Romney to you is like almost like having having a Catholic candidate.
It's not like having a Catholic candidate per se. I like, though, the view of family that the Mormon faith has. And we're not talking now about the old ways of the Mormon faith, and some people are going to be confused. You know, they'll think that you somehow are endorsing polygamy. We don't, of course, and neither does the Mormon church.
No, absolutely.
What I find attractive about the Mitt Romney campaign as a Catholic priest and as one who shepherds people spiritually in our parish is that his wife is a woman, Ann Romney, who's been at home with her children and has raised those children. They've had a good family. They've got six children, and it's also something I think that they have in common with the Catholic families. So we encourage children. We encourage our large families. And she has been at home with those children. And they've made a point they've made that a campaign point.
All right, so they've used that as a way of promoting the governor's campaign.
I believe that it's been a positive thing to do because we, as Catholics, believe that the best place for a woman is to be at home with her children.
Now, you're going to get some arguments from some other Catholics about that.
I get some arguments from a lot of people about that, but I'm not saying that that women are not allowed to go and have a job or to support themselves at all. I'm saying that Ann Romney has made a choice, and we should support the choice because there's a lot of children there that need their mother. and it's optimum to have the mother at home, to have mother there. The only thing that you would expect, and as the campaign goes along and as she moves into the White House, if indeed Governor Romney is elected, is the opportunity that a woman has when she's at home and she's not out working and she doesn't have the pressures of these other things to also be a traditional woman. And by that I mean you can to maintain your beauty, to maintain your own, you know, the clothing and so on and so forth.
You're talking about like a woman's personal...
Yeah, her personal style, her personal beauty.
All right, her personal grooming.
Grooming is a good word, but I also mean to the extent that you stay beautiful and presentable for your husband if you're going to be at home. So I think that's probably an area that Dan Romney could... I'm not saying she's weak in that area, but I'm saying that's an area that she could work a little bit harder in. But I will tell you this, that to have Mitt Romney running for president of the United States, it's not like having a Catholic running, but there are similar values in terms of the home.
We're talking with Father James McQuarters. You're not saying that Mormons have similar... Are you saying that Mormons have similar values to Catholics when it comes to family? And what I should say...
I think any good person would have quality values when it comes to family.
No, but I think what I'm saying is, are you saying that the Mormon Church and the Catholic Church believe the same thing?
Well, it seems that from the not so much from the liturgical standpoint, but from the standpoint of the establishment of the church, that both churches encourage large families, and the Catholic Church has never shied away from encouraging Catholics to have large families, which also goes hand in hand with what we're speaking about. When you are a stay-at-home mom, as Ann Romney is, and we support that, you should make every effort to appear in terms of that grooming that you're talking about.
And are you finding fault with Ann Romney's grooming? Or,
No, I'm not finding fault. I'm saying that she's a very lovely young lady. I think that for the time that she has to be a stay-at-home mom, as we've often heard her described, that every bit of commitment she can put into that.
And when you say that a stay-at-home mom should put a lot of commitment into her grooming and into remaining beautiful, to what end?
Well, to the end of a happy marriage, of course, to the end of a happy husband, to the end of a loving home and a home where there is a great humor and there's great love and obviously there's affection. This all leads to affection and leads to what we call in Catholicism, it leads to the sanctity of the marriage, and that is the marriage vow, and that is the marriage bed, and that is the size of family and so forth. So
in other words, if I can interpret all of that down, it's to say that you remain attractive for your husband so that you're attractive for your husband for sexual reasons.
Well, I think that you need to be if you are encountering that part of your faith which band-aids a large family, as the Mormons do, as Catholics do, and as other religions do. But Ann Romney... I think for a lovely woman, and she's a lovely woman, she does not have to work, I don't think, all that hard to be beautiful. And so she could put some more effort into it. And that's what I spoke with William Guthrie, a very prominent friend of mine. He's a businessman. He's also a Mormon. And I spoke with him.
Who is this gentleman?
Mr. Bill Guthrie, who's in the banking business.
Okay, he's a friend of yours.
Oh, yes, very good friend. And he agreed with me. He said that as a Mormon, he doesn't want to criticize, but she looks like she could probably put a little more effort into Hector Ilman, you know, and to that extent.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is our number. Let's put you on hold here, Father. I can hear you've got a sore leg there.
Well, the thing that has been the most troublesome, I think, for the longest time is is the fact that it was a torn muscle, you know, and I should not have been playing baseball.
Well, you got out there with the kids, and it was for charity, huh?
It was for charity, and it was to benefit also the parish and a lot of charities, yeah.
All right, Father James McCorder's on the line. Our number, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. So the Father McCorder's is not the Pope, but he is endorsing from the standpoint of family and the stay-at-home mom that Ann Romney is. He likes Mitt Romney. And the fact that a stay-at-home mom can be spend more time grooming and looking beautiful, which he feels is an area of weakness there for Ann Romney, something that she could work a little bit harder on. 877-876-PHIL. I don't know if you feel the same way about Ann Romney's beauty, or if you feel the same way about just the Romney candidacy. 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We have on the line with us, we got Father James McCorders. We talk about the Romney candidacy and Ann Romney, who you feel is a great representation of a woman and a possible first lady, and a woman who, like so many Catholic women, there's not a lot of Catholic stay-at-home moms. I don't know that we're talking about a tradition here.
Well, I think it's an ideal, Bill. It's an ideal. And,
okay.
And I think that women like Ann Romney, you know, I think that they show us the ideal. But if the world were a perfect place, I would think that mom would stay at home with the children. You know, if you've got six or seven children, you certainly would want to stay at home with your children. And you would not want to venture into work. And I think that's the ideal. And I know that a great many women are forced into not... they're forced not to be able to do that.
Yeah, a lot of women don't have the choice.
A lot of women don't have the choice. So when you do have the choice, and when you do have the opportunity to be a stay-at-home mom, I would think that you'd make the effort, a little bit more of an effort than Ann Romney has made. That's the only part of the equation that I've got a problem with.
Let's talk about how much of a problem you think that is.
Well, I think it's a big problem. I think, not a big problem, I think it's a significant problem in that when I see her giving a speech, and she goes up today, and she looks, to me, give me the loofah. Today, she looked as if she could have had her hair brushed, I think, a little bit nicer. And I think she could have perhaps even had her hair done a little bit nicer than she had. Instead, what I saw was a woman who looked a little bit haggard, and I think she looked a little bit like she was run through the mill a bit. You know, there's an old saying about rode hard and put up wet, which I would not apply to this lady. But
that's a little bit of a rude.
No, but I'm not applying it to her. But I'm saying if it was someone who I didn't think was of the caliber of a woman of an Ann Romney, I'd say it rode hard and put up with. So I think you've got a responsibility if you're a stay-at-home mom, and to look a little bit better than Ann Romney was able to look today, and in the speech that I saw, because I do endorse it. But I would say, and I'm sure that I join Mitt Romney, if you're a stay-at-home mom and you're going to go out and you're going to support a husband in his campaign to be president of the United States, that you make the effort to look a little bit better than she was able to look today. And
is this it's a very interesting point. Is this a chronic problem?
Hold on for a minute. Yeah. Give me the duck. I'm sorry, Phil. Father Staley is here. Yes. I'm trying to get down into the tub, if you can help me.
Are you all right?
Hold on. All right, I'm okay now. My leg is very difficult for me to get into this tub of water. It's warm water. Now, there's a thing here. Do you recall the restaurant that you told me about? I went to that Harold's House of Omelets.
Yeah, in Thousand Oaks.
Yes. I got that little duck that little rubber duck that they've got there.
Yeah, the Herald's House of Omelets, they have a little duck. It's got a chef hat.
Yes, it has a chef hat on it.
And when were you there?
Well, I think I was there, Father, a couple of months ago when we were going to Thousand Oaks on our way to St. Mary's. Or, excuse me, to St. John's.
Okay.
And the duck I got, and I'm asking Father Staley to give me the duck. Give me the duck. Give me the duck. Just a moment, Phil. Just one moment.
We're talking here with Father James McCorders about the Ann Romney stumping for her husband and being a stay-at-home mom. Would give her more time to look to groom perhaps better than she has. Father McCorders is making the point that Ann Romney looks
duck.
What's the problem here?
What don't you understand about duck? Yes, thank you. Father Staley is leading the choir this Sunday for the very first time. I think he's distracted because I kept asking him for the duck, and he didn't want to. But yes.
So we're talking about what you finding fault with Ann Romney's looks.
No, I don't find fault with her looks. I find fault with what she's done with her looks, which is not a lot. Okay, which is not a lot. That's all I'm saying.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Let's go over here to Janice Grover. Hey, Mrs. Grover, how are you doing? It's good to have you on the air with us. We're going to switch over to another line, dear, so I can hear you a little bit better, because I know Father McCorders is in the tub. Janice, how are you doing?
Oh, Phil, how are you? I wanted to talk to Father McCorders about Ann Romney.
Yes, ma'am.
I am not a Republican voter.
If the lady could speak up a little bit.
Yeah, Janice, will you speak up a little bit more, hon?
I said I am not a Republican voter.
Yes, dear.
And so I don't think I would vote for a Republican ordinarily.
Yes, ma'am.
But what you said about Ann Romney not looking her best, it rang a bell. Maybe she's going to stay at home?
Well, she's staying at home with the six children, yes.
I agree, but the polygamy. Yes.
Well, there's no polygamy in the Mormon faith.
Well, I know that there is not. But nonetheless, the history of polygamy would give one cause. When I was married to, and Mr. Henry knows Larry, he is my son.
And who's that?
Larry Grover.
Larry Grover is one of my news contributors.
All right, Bob.
My son, Larry. When Larry was born, his father was arrested for bigamy. He had been married to another woman in Hawaii.
Oh, my God.
Yes. I let him back in the house after he had settled with this woman and he'd spent...
He was arrested for bigamy?
Yes, he was. He was married to a woman in Hawaii. Larry's father was.
Oh, my God.
Yes. So when he had gotten out of prison and had paid restitution, I let him back in the house. But I told him that from now on, I was not going to do anything more than what was my wifely duty. And that was to have sex with him once a week. But I was not putting on makeup. I was not getting into any nice dresses. I was not going to do my hair. I was going to be just the most plain Jane woman. And he was going to have to live with that. If I found out that he was having an affair, I would kill him.
Good Lord. I mean, you didn't...
Well, you didn't tell the man that.
Did you tell him that?
I most certainly did. I said, if I find you have cheated on me again, and he said he hadn't cheated. He had been married to this woman.
Well, if he had been married to her, he should have known he was married to her, obviously, but he married you.
Well, yeah, that's exactly right. But he claims that he forgot, and...
Oh, my goodness, it's ridiculous.
He claims he forgot he was married to another woman when he married you.
Forgot. So that's what I said to him. I'll have sex with you once a week, but I'm not brushing my teeth. I'm not going to use any kind of hygiene products, nothing.
What about your personal hygiene?
No, nothing. Nothing. If he wanted to have sex with me, great. But I wasn't going to bathe.
So in other words, you were going to torture him.
What did you say, Phil?
You were going to torture him for having been married to another woman.
I said that. Well, it sounds like torture to me, yes. Well, I said I wasn't going to brush my teeth or bathe. Yes, that would be... That would qualify as torture?
That sounds like it to me. We're going to be right back here. Thank you very much, Janice. We got to take a break, okay?
All right, and I wanted to hold on and get the phone up.
Hold on. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. I'll be right back here with Father James McCorders and Ann Romney and the Romney campaign.
Phil Henry.
The number for the suicide prevention hotline for Larry. You know, he's at it again.
Famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show here. On the line with me is Father James McCorders, who is talking with us really about the Romney campaign and how it coincides, perhaps, if you will, with the Catholicism, the fact that the Romney family is Mormon, the fact that the Ann Romney stay at home, the fact that you have a big family there. A lot of it mirrors... the Catholic experience.
Yeah, hold on. A duck. I'm sorry. I apologize to you, Phil, and the reason I apologize, Father Staley, who has the choir that I mentioned this coming weekend, has confused him to the point where every time he walks in here and I ask him for that little Harold's House of Omelets duck, the little rubber one, he doesn't know what I'm talking about.
Well, why is the duck not in the tub?
It was in the tub, and it flew out of the tub. It's a game that I've been playing with. It's just a game. Never mind. Don't...
877-876-PHIL. So we're talking about that and you know, and Ann Romney and her personal grooming.
Yes, the personal grooming of Ann Romney, I think, which is, it really, she's got to step it up. If you're going to be a stay-at-home mom... And that means that you are at home with the children. You've got to step it up. You've got to take it up a notch. And I believe if you have all of that time to take care of your grooming, to take care of yourself, to look your best and to feel your best, and I think you've got time to do all of that, then I think you should get your hair done, get your face fixed, something, because she has... She really disappointed today that she came up onto that podium today, and I looked on the TV news... And I remember remarking to one of the other, I think we had some of our novitiates are here today, and I said, "My God, look at that!" I said, "What is it?" You know, and they laughed. And at the point I was trying to make.
Well, isn't that a little cruel for a Catholic priest to be judging a woman's looks that way?
No, I'm not judging a woman. I'm judging a mother. I'm judging the wife of a candidate. It's much, much different. Much, much different.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Warren here. Warren, how you doing, sir? Where are you?
Hey, I'm having a good time. I want to talk to this gentleman about the Romney campaign. Gonna do it.
And what is this, Mr. Benman?
I beg pardon, sir.
Is this Mr. Benman?
Yes, sir.
Well, now where are you, man? Are you in Vegas?
No. This is a charity casino we're having tonight. We're in a studio.
You're at a charity casino. Okay. What was your... All right. And for one of the studios that you work for?
I do a lot of cable pulling over here at CBS Laurel.
You do cable pulling at CBS Laurel?
I didn't understand it. I'm going to talk to the... to the priest if you can do that.
Yes, this is Father McCorders. If you could speak up, sir, I'd appreciate it.
I said I want to talk to you, sir. I'm going, what you talk about?
Could I ask a question to Mr. Henry? I think I'll direct myself to Mr. Henry.
You have to answer my question.
I'm going to answer a question.
Warren, he'll answer your question. What do you want, Father?
I suppose I should ask you if this man, you know this gentleman.
It's funny because I fell out of the stadium.
You fell out of a stadium?
Yeah, he fell as a construction worker off of a very high rafter of some kind. Was it a girder?
What did you say? It was a go?
No, it's a second tier girder.
Okay.
He fell and it caused a great deal of... Obviously, nerve damage.
Well, it makes me nervous.
Or do you have actual damage to your physiology, Warren?
No. It's just the fact that my mind is a wreck. Why is your mind a wreck? When you try falling, if you fall that far, you can't fall. I fell 50 stories. You fell 50 stories and you lived? Yeah, and you know something, Father? How did you live to say what you say? How did I live to say what I say? What did I do? Just sitting in a bathtub, you talk about him, Rami. He doesn't look good. I didn't understand that.
You said you're sitting in a bathtub.
No, I want to say it. You're in a bathtub. You can't tell Rami. Warren, I want to hear what you're saying, son. I'm trying to belittle you, and I'm not trying to condescend to you. But what happened to you? What happened? And I told you I fell out of a tree. You fell out of a tree. I fell off the tier.
He fell off.
No, let the young man say it himself. I want him to get used to speaking. I've had therapy, Father. I don't need a tank. You've had therapy, Father. You don't need a tank. I don't need you to stay. All right, but what happened? I was working on a baseball stadium and fell. All right, you were working on a baseball stadium and you fell. Yeah, and you fell a long way. Yeah, I'm going like five stories. You fell five stories. And that was the first time, and then another time I fell off a broadcast tower trying to change the bulb. Is this guy kidding, Phil?
No, he's not. He's not.
I'm not trying to kid about nothing here. I think the things you're saying right now in the radio show, you're being mean. It's like I'm bad if you come kick your ass.
Whoa, hold on, Warren. There's no need to threaten people with kicking their ass.
Warren, let me tell you something. This is Father McWhorter's now. You don't come in the way you do. Hold on for a minute. You don't want to open the McWhorter's door. You don't want to do that, okay? I'll tell you what it means. It means you don't want to open that door that you're trying to open. You say you don't want to come kick my ass? Do you really? Well, friend, if you want to walk down that blind alley, if you want to go down ass-kick street, understand something, that it's a dead end. And at the very end of it is a cul-de-sac called Bad Man McWhorter's. Yeah, sure.
Hold on, Warren. Now, come on.
This guy's getting me pissed off. Go down Ass-Kick Street, and you're going to hit the cul-de-sac called Bad Man McWhorter's Lane. And the thing that you said. What did I say? I said Ann Romney looked like a drowned rat. Yeah, don't go camping. Oh, man, I can't deal with this guy.
Yeah, Warren, you're very difficult to understand, okay?
That's the fact that you're there. You're rolling dice. You're playing blackjack. You're doing all of the things that God himself would consider sinful. He tried to talk to a Catholic priest. And then you tried to do eight skate and donate. Daddy needs a new pair of shoes. Shut up. You don't know. I know more than you do when it comes to craps.
Forget about the dice and get away from the table. Have you said all that you want to say, Warren?
You don't want to go down to... You want to take a walk down Ass Beat Street with me? Uh-uh. Do you want to take a walk down Ass Beat Street with me?
Yeah, if I go down Ass Beat Street, probably come out the other side of Ass Fondle Street.
Oh, so it's like that, huh?
Yeah, that's what it is.
Ass Fondle Street. You see what I mean, Phil, when I come on these programs, and these people...
Well, you know what? You're asking for it when you are saying, you know, you're challenging the guy.
Oh, he said he was going to beat my ass. I could have come down and kicked your ass the way you talk to me about me. And listen, I'm trying to understand what the guy's saying, and he just goes, Danny, I don't know what that means.
What's the when you talk about her?
The way I talk about who?
Ann Romney. He has a problem with it, and that's why he, and I will tell you, Warren, coming on any radio show and threatening somebody with physical violence, that's the end of the conversation, okay?
When he then?
When Father McWhorter's baited you with come down Ass Kick Street to Bad Man McWhorter's cul-de-sac, whatever that's supposed to mean, and...
Oh, Phil, I was trying to show the boy that you can't make statements. Don't write a check with your mouth that your ass can't back up.
Yeah, you said you shouldn't talk dirty.
That's not dirty.
But all I'm saying is you baited him with your comments. Warren, thank you very much. Good luck. And next time you call a show, do it from somewhere other than a charity casino or whatever that charity auction night that he was at there. Father James McCorders.
I've got a bad leg.
What's that?
I've got a bad leg. You've got some guy coming on the program. The man's missing half of his mind. He's missing half of his mind.
Well, Father, I had
no... No, you had every idea. The man comes on missing half... He's half out of his mind. Threatened to beat my ass. You open that door. That's a door you don't want to open. And when you do open that door, you better make sure there's a kickstop for it. So it stays open. Because you're going to want to turn around...
Yeah. Father James McCorders is with us. Better make sure there's a kickstop. What is that? Anyway, Father James McCorders is with us as we talk about Ann Romney and the Mitt Romney campaign in general. Ann Romney is a stay-at-home mom. She is a mother of some six kids, I think, and she's doing a great job. But she is, according to Father McCorders, she's dropping the ball in the personal grooming department because any woman with that much stay-at-home time ought to look better than she does. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445.
You better believe it.
Would you put him on hold, please? Thank you. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
What about that guy?
Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Father James McCorders with us, our final segment of the hour. We're going to be talking with Lloyd Bonafide next hour. It'll be John Edwards, the John Edwards topic on deck. And Father McCorders right now is trying to fix a leg that got banged up. I just would tell you, Father McCorders, that the gentleman you spoke to was not some shill. He wasn't somebody that I set, that, you know, I put on the phone.
So that gentleman that I just spoke with is a real guy.
Yeah, he's a real guy. And
well, he said to me that he'd been... I asked him, I said, how many girders did... And I mean this sincerely, Phil. When I asked the man, how many girders did you hit going down? He said, like, 7 or 8 girders.
And apparently, he hit a whole bunch of girders on his way to the ground, and it did not do any physical damage.
Well, you see, that's the part that I don't understand.
It didn't do physical, it did psychological damage. He's got a fear of heights, obviously.
Why does he talk like that?
That's part of the whole fear thing. He's just afraid of... He's freaked out, you know.
What do you mean he's freaked out? What does that mean? That doesn't tell me anything.
I don't know. It's something... It's a post-traumatic stress thing.
Give me that post-traumatic stress. You know, that's the excuse they give for everybody. Post-traumatic stress. And I can tell you now, every time I talk about people who have been... Hold on for a minute, because here we go again, Phil. I apologize. Would you give me that duck?
Would you somehow get him under control?
Staley, I'm on the radio with Phil Hendry. I need the duck.
Why is that duck flying out of the tub?
It's a game that I'm playing using the duck, all right? It's nothing that is... The duck squeezes out of my hand and flies up in the air, and sometimes it lands in a place that I can't get to it, all right?
Okay, in any event, he is, he's that damaged. He's a guy that has called our show before. You know, I think he's a nice man, but he's, like I said, he's got a...
Hold on. You want to give me the duck back? I'm sorry, Phil.
Are you listening to me?
I'm listening to you, yes, but I'm also trying to get... Are you giving me the duck back, or aren't you? What? Are you... You know something? If you don't give me that duck back, you're not going to believe what happens next, even while it's happening. You understand me? What are you laughing at?
Nothing.
Give me the duck.
Okay, Father, we got to get going.
Wait, you're not going to do it? When's your next commercial break, Phil?
In 10 minutes.
It's in one?
10 minutes.
So anyway, Phil, the gentleman there that I was...
If you need to have a rubber duck so bad, then maybe we ought to just finish this conversation.
What is that supposed to mean? I'm trying to...
If you need to be preoccupied by getting your duck back in the bathtub, maybe we ought to end this conversation and do something else.
I was talking to the guy. And
you're talking to this guy, Staley?
Yes, he's a priest.
Okay, and he's got your duck.
Yes, he's got my duck.
Well, it's distracting us from the conversation that we're having.
Are you listening to that, Staley? You're distracting the show.
No, you are too.
I am too. He thinks he's a smartass. All right, so as I was saying, I feel bad for your friend there, Benman, but that guy was, he was strictly from hunger, because I couldn't understand anything he was saying. And
but to when you said to him, you know, don't go down, you know, I can't hear a thing.
I'm trying to find the soap, and I sure don't want to bend over for it, not with Staley in the room. I'm kidding.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so in other words, this guy Benman that I was talking about, you baited him, and he finally did throw down a physical challenge, and then you started in there with this whatever that conversation was about. Don't go down Ass Kick Street, or you're going to wind up hitting Bad Man Cul-de-sac or something like that.
And what's that again? I'm sorry. Say that again.
I said that you were baiting that man by saying, don't open the door.
Yeah, don't open the McQuarters door, because at the end of Ass Kick Street is Bad Man McQuarters' cul-de-sac. That's what I said. And guess what he did? He opened the door. And that's when I said, why don't you have a kickstop for that door, because you're going to need to have it open, you know. And he said,
I can't hear anything now, man, with that water running.
Turn it up, will you? I'm going to need to turn it off. Okay. Now, he said to me, you know, well, what I'm going to do here is I'm going to go down, you know, he said that he wanted to beat my ass or something like that. And
can I ask you a question?
Now you're interrupting me.
No, but did you just say Margarita turned the...
Yes. Oh, I see. So now we've got another problem. What is that?
Is that a woman in the bathroom with you?
Yes, it is. It's the housekeeper, Margarita. She draws my bath for me. Shut up, Staley. You got a problem with that, too? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to kick you.
What the hell is going on, man?
Hold on.
What is...
Give me the duck! Give me the duck! You guys... can I ask you who's on the phone?
It's Phil Henry.
I'm sorry, Mr. Henry. Walter McWaters and Walter Staley had a fight.
They're having a fight?
Yes, they're having... Give me that! They're having a fight.
Who is this?
This is Marguerite. And,
are you a woman?
Yeah. I mean, yes. I'm on my way to becoming... No, I'm a woman. I'm not
pre-surgical?
No.
And who's in the tub?
Well, I am. I figured as long as...
All right. Yeah. Father McQuarter's trying to get his duck back, and just to recap, he was talking about Ann Romney and the fact that a woman with that much stay-at-home time should probably look a lot better than she does. She should take a little more time out for her personal grooming and not look like a drowned rat. Then he went on to get into an argument with Father Staley about a rubber duck that he'd got at Harold's House of Omelets that kept getting, I guess, lost out of the tub. He always had to have Staley get it for him, and Staley wouldn't this time and wouldn't give it back to him. And so they got into an argument, and then he wound up baiting one of my callers who's got neurological damage and wanted to kick his ass. And you just heard what happened there. Marguerite, who sounds like a guy.
Drawing the bathwater.
Was drawing the bathwater, yes. All right, coming up next hour, it's going to be a topic that we've dealt with before in some detail, and we will continue with Lloyd Bonafide, and that is the John Edwards trial, which kicks off, or did kick off today. The wealthy backer whose money helped two-time presidential candidate John Edwards hide his pregnant mistress felt like he was going to be the savior of America. The government star witness against Edwards testified on Monday. Get a load of that. Edwards, the Democratic vice presidential nominee in 2004, is accused of using hundreds of thousands of dollars from the 101-year-old heiress Rachel Buddy Mellon and another donor to conceal his affair with Riel Hunter. Are you kidding me?
Who is it?
Rachel Bunny Mellon. You mean like Carnegie Mellon? Is that the same melon?
Well, I like watermelon. Yeah, it could be watermelon.
Edwards aide Andrew Young, the first witness in Edwards' trial, said Mellon was an enthusiastic supporter who apologized for not being able to give the campaign more than $1 million. She said she was close personal friends with Senators John and Bobby Kennedy and felt like Edwards was the best combination of them. Get a load of that. All right, we'll look into this and have more for you on the other side here. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. What's going on with, is the McCorders line dead now? Because I sure hope it is, man. I'm still here in bathwater. Yeah, turn it off, will you, bud? We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
World famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch and where we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. They don't dare because they wouldn't be talk shows if they did that stuff that we do. Anyway, we do apologize up front for trying to be entertaining and just kidding. Just apologizing to a handful of people that
don't get it.
Don't get it. Right. All right. John Edwards, as I mentioned last hour, John Edwards, the first day of his trial, there was testimony here by Andrew Young. Oh, I forgot to look up Bunny Mellon. Did either one of you melon heads do that?
No, I didn't do it either. But you need to look her up for it.
I just wonder if she's part of the Mellon family. I think she'd have to be. How many families in America with the last name Mellon are loaded, you know? And I would say that Bunny Mellon has got to be, here it is. She is Rachel Lambert Mellon. And
kind of a hip name for an old lady.
It's a hip name for an old lady, yeah. She was born in 1910, a horticulturist, gardener, philanthropist, fine arts collector, member of the International Best Dressed List, widow of a philanthropist, art collector, thoroughbred racehorse owner, breeder, and banker heir. Aha! Banker heir Paul Mellon.
What's that mean?
It means he's the heir to the Andrew Mellon fortune. Andrew Mellon, old man Mellon, as I like to refer to these guys. He was the cat that started the whole family, money trough. He was the guy that started the whole, you know, the fortune, right? Many families in America are distinguished that way. The Rockefellers, the Mellons. One of those families won't be the Henry family. Just kidding. Not really.
You leave a fortune, just not that much.
Yeah, sure. Anyway, there was a time. All right, so John Edwards was the beneficiary of some of Bunny Mellon's money. She apologized, as we mentioned to you last hour. She apologized to the senator that she wasn't able to give him more than $1 million, the campaign finance restrictions being what they are. She said she was close personal friends with Senator John and Bobby Kennedy. Yes, sure. I'm kidding.
Yeah, she probably was.
She probably was. I'm just joking around. But, you know, that kind of, that sort of facile comparison, sure, she says that John Edwards, you know, has all the best traits of Bobby and John Kennedy. Why? Because they're all, like, good-looking guys? You know, because I don't see anything in this guy Edwards Anyway, prosecutors say Edwards broke federal laws by accepting about $725,000 from Mellon and more than $200,000 from Fred Barron, a now-deceased Texas lawyer who was his finance chairman. The money was used to pay for Hunter's living and medical expenses, travel and accommodations to her out of sight, to keep her out of sight while he made the second White House run in 2008. That's what prosecutors are saying, as you know. We have Lloyd Bonafide on the line with us. Mr. Bonafide, a Korean War veteran, is now retired owner of the Bonafide Heating and Plumbing business there in Alhambra, California, and was himself a John Edwards fan for a brief time. Joining us now on the line from Alhambra, and, you know, I would have to ask you right out of the gate here, Lloyd, you know, how long were you a supporter of his? What was it about him that you liked?
Well, you know, I was a supporter of John Edwards for probably a good 6 or 7 months because I'm a voting Republican.
Excuse me, you said you're a Republican.
Yes, I'm a voting Republican. By that I mean... you know, I wouldn't say that I hold all Republican views, you know, but I am conservative in some areas. And in other areas, I believe that we've had to make, we must do things to help the country as a whole. And I felt that for a while, I felt that John Edwards was the kind of a candidate that I would personally want to have represent me in the White House.
And when did that change?
Well, for me, it changed, I think, when the you know, the information became in the news about him quite possibly having this affair.
Okay.
And
did you believe it?
Well, I didn't know what to believe, but I felt that it looked as if he might have a problem there, and I didn't find that to be a beneficial state of affairs, obviously, for his run for the presidency, and I certainly didn't, as a personal matter and as a matter of integrity, I thought he was exposed there. And so I at that time made the decision, you know, that I would back off, and I swung my support the other way back over to the Republican side.
Now, that's interesting. So you went from the supporting John Edwards to John McCain?
Back, yes, to John McCain. But that I don't vote necessarily according to the party. I vote on issues, and I felt that John Edwards was making some statements about certain issues that I thought...
Is it like poverty?
Yes, sir. The addressing issues of poverty I thought was very important, and I felt that he was well-placed to do that. Now... when I heard this information about the having an affair, of course, then I felt that he was exposed, as I said, and that's when I felt that I would swing my vote the other way.
Did you maintain an admiration for this man?
I did. I felt that I was sorry that he'd made the decision that he made, but I didn't know if it was true or not. And when it finally was brought forth in the news that yes, this did happen, that he admitted to it, I was very, very, at that point, I became very disappointed. And I became very angry.
And you got angry at him, huh?
Yeah, well, I did. I felt that John Edwards stood poised to, really, he could have done great things. And I think he acted... to you, I think he was plain stupid to be unkind, but I think to be unkind, but to be accurate, I think he was stupid. I think he behaved stupidly, and his wife, of course, who was suffering from this terrible disease that would prove to be fatal, to treat that woman that way was ignorant beyond. Description.
Did any of that go into... You still maintained your admiration for the guy?
Well, I did, but I knew that he was... I think he had great ideas. I think he had great ideas.
But just flawed as a man.
But just an absolute imbecile when it came to knowing what he had. And you have to understand, Bill, you know, I lost my son in the Vietnam War.
I'm sorry to hear that, sir.
Well, it's all right. He was a very young man, 21 years of age. He was a lieutenant in the United States Army, and he was in Vietnam. And, you know, my son's name was Ralph. And Ralph was, we loved him, obviously, and we still do. But we have a picture of him on our mantelpiece. It's been so many years, you know, but we still look at him. And when I walk by that picture, and it's a picture of him in his Army dress uniform, I look at him and I think, that's really not only someone that I love, but one of the stupidest men in the world. And
why? Why do you say that?
Well, I'll tell you why. Because the manner in which my son died was a kind of a thing where, you know, a guy wants to be a hero, and I think they gave him a posthumous a Bronze Star. His mother will know it was a Bronze Star because he there was a live explosive of some kind, and he stepped in front of the blast of this, and it killed him. Now, you have got to be so stupid.
Well, wait. That sounds like a very heroic thing, though. You know.
Well, heroic. Okay. You know something? One man's hero is another man's idiot. Because this boy, 21-year-old lieutenant, and this North Vietnamese, some kind of a booby trap or something. I guess it was a hand grenade that he attempted to retrieve and to shield the rest of his squad with his body as he tried to get this hand grenade, tried to pitch it away from them, and it exploded, and it killed him. Now, how stupid, seriously, Phil, I ask you, how stupid do you have to be?
Well, I'm not going to even go there with that. You know.
Well, you're not going to go because you want to think of him as some kind of a hero, and that's fine, and you can do that, and we can have those discussions. But at the end of the day, and the only reason I'm bringing it up is the same thing with Edwards. A couple of idiots. One of them was my son, and another guy I was going to vote for president.
And don't you feel proud of your son in any sense?
I love my son very much. There'll never be anything that changes that. I just look at that picture and I think, you idiot. You know, just, right? Well, his mother doesn't feel, his mother's here, she doesn't feel his ex, but I walk by that and I look and I think, what an imbecile, because he could be here today.
Well, what do you mean he could be here? First of all, look, I'm not going to argue with you.
Well, there you go, bingo, because I'm his father.
Well, that's fine. You can feel how you want to feel, and I, you know, I'll respect that, but can't you be kind? Can't you see that what he did? Don't you know the specifics of this? I mean, they awarded him a Bronze Star.
Well, his mother, what did they give? It was a North Vietnamese hand grenade or a Viet Cong explosive device of some kind that landed near several members of his squad that he retrieved and attempted to what? To throw out of the area or to throw back or some ridiculous thing like that, like you see on TV. You know?
So in other words, he grabbed this grenade that hadn't gone off yet and was trying to throw it away from the squad.
There you go. And guess what? It blew up. Now, that's you. If you're telling me, is there anything in life that, think about it. A guy goes over, oh, look at this, a hand grenade. I think I'll grab it and bang. That's like almost the punchline to a comedy routine. Well, no, it is. And
a punchline to a comedy routine, huh?
Yes. And so John Edwards, when I saw what he did, the first thing I thought of was my son. What an imbecile.
All right, hold the line here. Lloyd Bonafide with us as we talk about the campaign of, as we talk about the trial of John Edwards, who's on trial now for essentially violating federal law regarding campaign funds, using campaign money to support this Riel Hunter. He's comparing John Edwards' stupidity with what he calls the stupidity of his own son who was killed in Vietnam for grabbing a North Vietnamese hand grenade and trying to throw it away from the squad and it blew up. something that he was honored for posthumously. We'll be right back here with Lloyd Bonafide of the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. Understand. The Phil Henry Show.
Dumb as the day is long. Dumb? Oh, man.
World-famous Phil Henry Show. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Henry Show. On the line is Lloyd Bonafide as we talk about the John Edwards campaign. John Edwards is, in your estimation, and I don't think that I would disagree with this, bottom line, a stupid man.
Absolutely.
A stupid man. And I think you said to me before we went on the air, Lloyd, that he was a guy emblematic of a lot of people who have the world in the palm of their hand, and they decide to just, like, throw it in the garbage.
Well, and you know something, Bill? That says it right there, and I'll tell you one even better. And you'll forgive my imagery, but I think that, you know, we're talking man to man, and I think the women who are listening will understand as well, because John Edwards and my wife, she understands. John Edwards, if you want to give it, if you want to look at it in the real way of what he had in his hand, you know what he had in his hand. He had the world's you-know-what in his hand. And he could have squeezed and twisted. And
okay, all right, so...
But that's what I'm saying. That's the power that John Edwards... It's not that you have the world in your hands. It's that you've got the world's you-know-what in your hands, and you're ready to squeeze, twist, and then pull. Okay? Okay, Mr. Henry?
Yeah, I understand. I don't understand what the imagery. Now you're talking about something that's rather aggressive.
But what I'm saying is he had the ability. The world was going to hop to his tune, is what I'm saying. All right? And
so he had that kind of power over the world. All right.
Well, in my opinion, he did. You don't think he did?
And I don't think John Edwards was going to get elected president. I think that John Edwards was going to be a player for many years to come in the power struggles of America. I think he was going to become, he was set to become a grand old statesman, if you will. He was set to become one of North Carolina's venerated leaders. He was set to become the father and grandfather of a brood of children that he and his wife were proud of. I mean, John Edwards, and he had money.
That's the other thing right there, buddy. You said it. He had money.
He had a lot. He's got a lot of money. That's why I don't understand why he did this. He didn't need... I mean, he needed the campaign money, you know.
Well, you know, he couldn't... That's what I mean about him being stupid. And that's why I say there's only one other guy in the history of my life... And
that's a, that now we're getting back to your son again, and I'm very uncomfortable with you keep on calling that boy stupid. Didn't you love him?
And of course I loved him. I loved him very much. His mother loved him very, very much. I loved him very much. That's why when I go by his picture and I look and I say, I love you, how could you be such a blithering idiot? But you know something? Someone told me something, and it's true. If he'd lived... If my son had survived Vietnam and come back, well, he would have wound up doing it over something over here. Probably would have gotten me or his mother killed. So, you know, don't you think so? My wife reminded me today, she said, as much as we loved Ralph, he might have come home and gotten both of us killed, blown to pieces.
And, oh, come on. I mean...
Well, I mean, that's how dumb he was. Let me tell you something. My son one day, when I was...
We're talking here with... I want to get people up to speed. You're talking about your own son who gave his life in Vietnam to save his squad members, and you find that to be a stupid thing.
Look, he's a hero. I give you all of that, but he's still an idiot. Let me tell you something. When he was a little boy, and he was making an explosive, and he had vinegar and he had baking soda, and if you put those two things together and shake it up, it'll blow right up in your face. So he had this vinegar and this baking soda in a little paper tube. It was like a little toilet tube that he had secured at both ends. And he put it into this tube. It was baking soda and it was vinegar.
Yeah, they're very volatile together.
Right. He said to me, hey, Daddy, shake that up and then opened one end of it. Now, what do you think I did? And so I got a face bowl, and he was in hysterics. And
so in other words, what he did was he played a trick on you.
He could have. What do you mean a trick? Are you ready for this guy on the radio? He said he played a trick. What are you talking about, a trick?
He played a trick on you.
I could have been blown to hell. I could have been blown to hell and back.
By baking soda and vinegar? I don't think so.
Well, what did he... What are you saying?
I'm saying the kid said, hey, Dad, shake up that tube of vinegar and baking soda, which you did.
Yes, I did, and then I took the other end off. I took the cap off, and I got a face full of vinegar and baking soda and whatever else he put in there.
And you looked like a jackass, and the kid laughed his ass off.
So you're telling me that that was a joke. I could have been blown. He could have blown my head off. My wife agrees. I could have had my head blown off.
By baking soda and vinegar, I don't think so. By baking soda and vinegar, I do not think so, okay? But that's just, you know, that's just me.
Well, I don't agree with you. And, again, this is a boy that could have had a lot of people hurt. If he gave me the cigar, I guess you're going to say that's a joke, too. When the, you remember the cigar that blew up?
I do, yeah.
You've never heard of an exploding cigar?
I've never heard of a what, sir?
Have you ever heard of an exploding cigar?
Yes, the one that my son, my own flesh and blood, gave me.
Let me ask you this. Do you think your son was trying to hurt you?
I think my son was so stupid that when he went down to the corner to buy me a cigar, he bought an exploding cigar.
Do you think maybe he did it on purpose as a joke?
I don't know what you're talking about now. When he went down here to the tin box. And
all right, hold on for just a minute. Is this guy for real or what?
I don't know.
877-876-PHIL. Lloyd Bonafide talking about, well, we were talking about John Edwards. Now we're talking about his son who died in Vietnam, who he said was really stupid for dying in Vietnam, and is giving me other examples of him being stupid, like buying an exploding cigar. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
What are you saying? Is that a joke?
Yes, it's a joke.
No.
Phil Hendry. Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. I'm going to take a phone call here for, we have on the line Lloyd Bonafide from Alhambra, California, as we continue talking about the John Edwards campaign.
Phil, can I make that one point?
Go ahead.
If you look into the Mellon family, then you made the point, and you made a good point there, of this woman, what's her name, Rachel?
Yeah, Bunny Mellon.
Yes, Bunny Mellon wanted to give him money. Now, let me tell you how stupid John Edwards is, and this goes back to how stupid the Mellon Mellon family is. Now, John Edwards in 2004... when he was running for president in 2004, and he eventually became the vice presidential, you know, nominee of John Kerry, Bunny Mellon called the campaign headquarters and said she wanted to donate money. And would you believe the imbeciles that Edwards has got working for him didn't recognize her name and didn't call her back?
Unbelievable.
See, you see how stupid? Had I known that, I wouldn't have gone near that guy with your money. Number two, I'm glad you didn't take offense.
No, it doesn't matter, because I don't have any money, so you couldn't go near him with my money, because there wouldn't be any.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
You know what, Mr. Hendry, it's not very becoming a member of the media like yourself pretending like you don't have any dough.
And, oh, so, you know, whatever you say.
Oh, stop it. Now, what's that? My wife said, why don't you go in the backyard and dig up another can of nickels if you think you're poor? Did you hear that one, Phil?
Yeah, I heard it. Yeah, you didn't break out the short arms and deep pockets line.
Well, she said I didn't break out the short arms and deep pockets line. She said, you still ought to go out in the backyard.
I understand. Now, all right, so can we move on with the melon story?
Well, the melons, the, you know, this Buddy Melon. Now, get a load of this. Her, the guy, the, geez, I forgot, I lost my place.
The man that she married.
Yeah, the man she married is the grandson of Andrew Carnegie, who you know who he is.
Yes, he was a philanthropist, an industrialist. He was the Secretary of the Treasury. Famous, famous, wealthy man.
Right. Now, let me tell you something, oh wise one. This guy, Mellon, was a member of a club that was in the Pittsburgh area that was called, I believe it was the Hunt and Fish Club. My wife knows the name of it. Now, here it is, the South Fork Fishing and Hunting Club. Okay?
All right.
Now, the South Fork Fishing and Hunting Club had an earthen dam. This was a dam that they had built so it would obviously dam up the river and the fishing would be good and so forth. Well, guess what? In May of 1889, this idiot's club, their earthen dam gave way and caused something called, oh, maybe you've heard of it, the Johnstown Flood. Yeah, my wife said, ever heard of that one in your travels?
Yes, I have. You got to be kidding.
No, I'm not kidding.
But you can't hang that on, you can't hang that on Mellon.
Why can't I? He was a member of the board of directors, this idiot. See, what I'm saying is, I'm not calling the guy a murderer, but I'm saying he's an imbecile. And so all of these idiots, they transfer that gene all the way down the line until it winds up with John Edwards. You know, and he's not in the Mellon family, but he was an idiot too. You know,
so in other words, that means nothing because John Edwards was not a Mellon, so...
But you see what I'm saying? Idiots attract idiots, I guess is what I'm saying, right, honey? Yeah, my wife said that like John Edwards was a moron magnet. What are you laughing at?
That's pretty funny. John Edwards was a moron magnet. So
I don't see what the joke is.
Well, it's fun. It's a funny line. I don't agree with you that the Mellon family, the Andrew Carnegie Mellon family, were morons because an earthen dam gave way.
The guy was in a hunt and fish club that built an earthen dam that gave way and caused the Johnstown flood. God! You've heard of that, right?
It's one of the worst disasters in American history, yes. I've heard of the Johnstown flood. But I can't hang it all over the South Fork Fishing and Hunt Club or whatever that is. All right, let's go over to Wallace here. Wallace, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, Bill. I'm
He's right here. Now, this gentleman, so you know...
What the hell?
So you know, he's got a... has had a laryngectomy. Wallace, I didn't understand you.
Understand the gentleman.
I think. Did you ask him? Had he? Were okay. Were you in the service?
Yes, I was in the United States Navy.
And what in? And what in?
1952.
And what in? What in Marine?
All right. So you were a Marine. Good for you.
That's on Vietnam. That's on Vietnam.
All right.
All right. So you said you're in Vietnam, Wallace?
Yep.
No, sir. My son was in the United States Army. And that's why he got blown up. You know, you're a real smart ass.
He says he's kidding.
Yeah, well, that's not very funny.
That, why would you say that, Wallace? You know.
You know, I got to ask you at this point a question, okay? Yes, I love my son. And yes, I'm proud of my son. But I can tell you that had he not killed himself in Vietnam, he would have come home and probably blown me and his mother to bits with some kind of anything, just a trip to the supermarket. The kid was always trying to blow something up. Well, he blew himself up, okay?
I'm a name, it's fine.
Will I say it again?
And one of it dead.
What? I didn't understand that.
My father's dead.
Did he pull the pin? The pin had been pulled.
Oh, that boy, they...
Yeah, no, it was the North Vietnamese.
He didn't pull the pin on the hand grenade. Is that what you're asking, Wallace? No, it was a hand grenade or some kind of an explosive that had been thrown from an enemy soldier or one of the enemy that he recovered and tried to clear from the area when it exploded. There were how many guys?
There was about four or five members of a squad that he was leading. Okay?
I'm a blinding.
Now, I want to ask you something. What happened to your larynx?
I'm playing on.
I saw it smoking, huh?
Name,
no, I didn't think of it. You know, you can be a smartass if you want.
Don't talk that way, okay? Nobody can understand you, you're right, but I don't talk like that.
I'll tell you what he said.
Don't say what he said!
Well, you can clean it up. He said I didn't get it through oral sex.
Oh, all right, so fine. Is that it, Wallace?
That part of the nut.
Did he what?
That part of the nut.
Oh, yeah, well, no, I was in Korea. Where were you?
Dead, not dead.
Oh, Vietnam. Now, yes, I hear good. I can't understand what you're saying. You got a voice. Your voice, you know, I've known guys with voice boxes, but, geez, you can't. I can't understand anything he's saying.
What? You lost the whole voice box there, huh?
Dead.
That's the worst I've ever heard. Have you seen the TV? You put your finger over it or something, and maybe people will understand. Okay? You put your finger over it and maybe... Go ahead, try it.
Who's that?
No,
all right, thank you very much.
What and what's that for?
877-876-PHIL. That was bizarre. I don't know where that guy was, but I couldn't understand a word he was saying.
Well, he had a laryngectomy, or however you say it. But
I've never heard it that bad. And then when he put his finger over his...
He sounded like a squirrel or something. I don't know.
877-876-PHIL. How's that? As we talk here with Lloyd Bonafide on the candidacy of John Edwards, now... The next thing that tomorrow he'll be back up, or rather the trial resumes, I should say. I don't know whether he will ever be called as a witness. They say that he broke federal law by accepting $725,000 from Mellon and more than $200,000 from his lawyer, who was his finance chairman. But this was not campaign money. It was a loan.
Well, you know, it was campaign money because his finance chairman gave it.
To the campaign.
To the campaign, exactly.
All right. So he's accused of concealing the money from the public and the Federal Election Commission, which polices political contributions by filing a false and misleading campaign disclosure report. Tomorrow, they're going to get into, my understanding is they're going to get into these the separation of these monies. We're talking to Lloyd Bonafide, and your calls at 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, as we continue talking about the trial of John Edwards on these campaign finance violations. And your comparison of him being stupid. Now the Mellon family is stupid.
If you don't see the connection...
I really don't see any connection between the Mellons at all, just because he was the chairman of a hunt and fish club when a dam broke. And I don't see any connection to... Just because his campaign didn't understand who she was...
Well, that, you've got to admit, that's stupid. And for all I know, Edwards answered the phone.
Well, his campaign didn't know who this Mellon lady was when she called in 2004.
Right. So you can laugh all you want about how dumb this guy is. I'm telling you, this guy is as stupid as a bag full of hammerheads. And that's a fact.
All right, we'll be right back. 877-876-PHIL. Apparently, Bunny Mellon called the Edwards campaign in 2004 wanting to donate money, and nobody recognized her name, so they didn't return her phone call. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
That's a natural fact.
World famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445 here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show with Lloyd Bonafide. And don't forget, we're going to be starting up a new Phil Henry podcast that is a couple of weeks out. And this will be available to you free of charge, and it will be available to you through, you know, wherever you like to go and grab your podcast. iTunes is most likely the best place. We will link it on our website, so it's just another reason to head on over to philhenryshow.com. If you don't have a subscription to our site where you can access thousands of hours of archived material going back over a decade, you need to do that. Go to philhenryshow.com. You get a backstage pass that not only gives you access to the live video cast that we're doing tonight. You can actually tune in and watch us. Not tune in, just log on. And here we are at the El Pacifico. You can also get our podcast the next day. You have access to our video cast archives that are about 5 days worth of video cast archives. You have access to all of our Saturday night shows that we did for local Los Angeles radio for a year, including the video casts. You have access, as I mentioned, to the thousands of hours of archive shows and so many other treats and goodies and extras. PhilHenryShow.com for that backstage pass. 877-876-PHIL is the number. I wanted to get Dr. Jim Sadler on the line here from San Diego. Dr. Sadler is a psychologist. To talk about what we just heard there, Dr. Sadler, because I was fascinated listening to that man's voice box. And I got in a conversation with Dan during the break. I said, how far away are we from having voice box, you know, artificial voice boxes for people who have suffered that?
Well, Phil, I think that we're closer than probably you could well imagine. There is so much technology that's available, medical technology, that's available now. The advances that we're making in medical technology is astounding, and I really believe that it's around the corner, if not closer. And I heard the gentleman's phone call, and you hear how tragic that is not to be able to articulate the way you would like to, because you've lost your ability to speak because of cigarettes and other forms of laryngeal cancers, and also other kinds of maladies.
This is Lloyd Bonafide.
Go ahead, Lloyd.
Doctor, this is Lloyd Bonafide, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, Lloyd.
Can I ask you a question in all honesty? When you heard that man's voice, did you understand anything he was saying?
Well, because I've worked with people who've had laryngectomies or whatever you call it.
Can I just one thing?
Yes, sir.
Why don't you know how to pronounce that? You said laryngectomy, and
I did pronounce it. The term, what I'm trying to say is diseases related to the voice box, or what we call laryngealic or something. It's a word that I don't know.
Shouldn't that be a word you know?
I beg your pardon?
Shouldn't that be a word that you would know, sir, is all I meant.
No, I not really. I mean, a lot of doctors know, but I approximated it. I approximated it.
Well, he's not a medical doctor.
But I don't care if he's not a medical.
Sir, I appreciate your concern, Mr. Bone.
No, it's not Bone. It's Bonafide, sir.
I apologize, Mr. Bonafide. You should have been impressed with, what I said was other diseases that are laryngealically, that should have been good enough for you. Why are you?
Because I knew you were faking it.
Okay, this is a very weird conversation.
It's very weird for me.
Well, yeah, but also what you just said there, I faked it, that should have been good enough. You know,
Well, Mr. Henry, you asked me to come on your program and talk about technologies for their...
He's going to fake another word.
No, I'm not, sir. Excuse me. To laryngeanelically or
Yeah?
You know, I don't know the word, because you're right, I'm not a medical doctor.
Okay, that's all you had to say, sir.
Well, I didn't think I was coming on a program to be probed as if I was someone's anus, okay?
Wow!
What did you say with my wife sitting in the room?
I'm sorry, but...
Whoa, hold on. What?
I'm sorry, Mr. Henry, but that's what I feel like.
All right, we'll just kind of roll back and cut that whole out of our memory, that whole conversation there. We're just cutting that right out of our memory, okay, if you don't mind?
Well, I came on the program to talk about Larry.
Good God, what's wrong with you? It sounds like you need a laryngectomy.
I can sense, I'm not sure, but I can sense there's laughter.
I'm laughing.
I am too. Why?
Because the word laryngect, let's just get back on track.
I'd like to do that if you don't mind.
Mr. Henry, I'm trying to be on track, but this man said...
Just never mind, Mr. Bonafide, I've got it. All right, so, have you ever... Forget about the word. If you don't know the word, that's fine. You're not a medical doctor. You're a doctor of psychology.
Don't those guys read, too?
Excuse me, but I don't believe I'm speaking with you.
All right, well, can I ask a question?
No, I'm still talking to the doctor. No.
Thank you.
Dr. Sadler, why were we not able to understand that man?
I was going to say, Phil, because there are some surgeries that are done on the vocal cords and on that part of the
laryngectomy.
Would you ask that man to shut his...
Lloyd, please.
Shut my what?
Shut your hole.
Why did you just call? That's what the guy's got in his throat, a hole. You know how to say that.
All right, Mr. Bonafide, I'm putting you on hold.
You're putting me on...
I just put him on hold, so don't worry. Go ahead.
Thank you very much, Phil. I'm having a hard time breathing. I'm so upset, you know.
I apologize, sir.
Sorry. Oh, God, I can't get my breath. I was so angry with that man. All right. Oh, God.
I apologize. I'm sure he upset you.
He did. Now, what I want... What was that?
I just busted off a hold.
Get out of here, okay?
You're not going to put me back...
Put him back on. He busted off a hole.
Yeah, he busted off a hole. I got to hang up on you.
I'll bust off of being hung.
Okay, so thanks. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, I just busted off of being hung up on.
You sound like a weenie.
Bring it. Don't open the Jim Sadler door.
Oh yeah, right.
Don't open that door.
Phil Henry.
Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we go places other talk shows, quite frankly, wish they had the guts to go to, but they don't. Welcome, and don't forget, we debut a new podcast a couple of weeks. That's not the only Phil Henry Show news that we have. A film that I was a part of 2 summers ago has, or will shortly be released, called Last Call. And I've got a very small part in it, as, you know, I do in a lot of these things. And in any event, it's going to be out soon. Look for it. There's going to be a screening on Wednesday night that I will most likely be a part of. It's called Last Call, and it's got a cast of thousands, from Christopher Lloyd to Tom Arnold to Dave Foley to, well, me.
Yeah, but you're not the big star.
No, I know. I'm not the big star. So anyway... Look for it. It's called Last Call. Other news to be talking with you about. We're going to be giving away this week another Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie. So be listening for that. We were supposed to do it last week, but we got sidetracked. So this week, another Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie will be given away here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And we've got some shot glasses to give away, too, to some favorite people. Oh, I know what I got to mention to you. This is really super important. We're going to be compiling a new Best of Ted Bell download. And we're going to have the top 10, say, cuts from the Ted Bell guest shows that we've done with him. So we'd like for you to be a part of the voting. If you are a Backstage Pass member, you can vote on your favorite Ted Bell bit by going to our email there at philhenryshow.com, where it says email Phil, and send us your favorite Ted Bell bit of all time, either a particular bit or an hour, doesn't matter. And we're going to factor that in. If you're a Backstage Pass member, if you're not a Backstage Pass member, you can be by going to philhenryshow.com and signing up for Backstage Pass. It gives you thousands of hours of archived radio. It gives you our live podcast. It gives you our live show as a video cast. It gives you the podcast the next day. It's a beautiful thing. It's the wave of the future. It are philhenryshow.com. Okay.
I knew you'd like this story. That's why I picked it out for you, Mr. Henry.
Thank you very much. Bud Dickman with me, and Robert, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, man. I've seen this story here on a measle.
That's right. That's right. You knew I'd be all over this like white on rice, huh?
Yep.
You knew I'd be all over this, man, like cold on ice.
Yep. We knew you'd be all over this like stink on...
Yeah, never mind. Stink on. Revisit immunization advice urges measles mother. Well, now I wonder why. See, this is a little area that I get, you know, it's just, it bugs me. It just bugs me. That whole thing with the, oh, I don't immunize my child because, as you know, it could cause autism. Well, no, I don't know that. No, the science isn't in on that. Oh, you mean it is? And it doesn't cause autism? Well, hell. And now we got a whole bunch of kids that haven't been immunized against these terrible, terrible diseases that can be fatal. Measles, mumps, you know. But, gee... We have all these touchy-feely new-age moms that didn't get the kids. Well, guess what? Measles is now at an all-time high. Yeah, that's right. The year 2011, measles hit an all-time high. Now, you don't think that has anything to do with the fact that so many of these brain surgeon moms didn't have their kids immunized. Now we have this story. This is a lady. Now, this is a local story. Where the hell is this, man?
Get that out of the newspaper.
You got it out of a newspaper. You got it off of a website. But where is this website? Hey, what is this, man? This is a story, and it's under the measles outbreak story. I don't know what city this is in. A woman in Awamutu. Her name is Allie Edwards Lazenby.
Maybe it's Africa.
It ain't Africa. It's some town that's named after a African town or something, I guess.
What is it called again?
Awatuwu or some jazz like that.
Yeah, it sounds like something that's on a, like an Africa town.
Well, it ain't. Anyway, this mother, her name is Allie Edwards Lazenby. She thought she was doing the right thing by making an informed decision not to immunize her son against measles at 4 years of age. Oh, yeah, I'll bet she did. It was at a time when there was a lot of speculation about the measles, mumps, and rubella, MMR, vaccine causing autism later in life. While her now 14-year-old son Cameron didn't develop autism, he did spend 3 days in the hospital last year fighting for his life against, guess what, measles. Fighting for his life. In fact, Cameron was the first of a cluster of unimmunized young people living in and around Te Atawantu to contract me. Where the hell is this, bud?
I don't know. I thought it was Africa.
What's Africa got to do with America, man? Give me a story out of America. Doesn't make any difference. It's still the same dumbass.
Might be an African dumbass.
Yeah, African dumbass, American. Anyway, this kid is one of a cluster of kids that got the measles, you know, virus in July of 2011. Unfortunately, someone had shown up at school in the early stages of the illness and unknowingly spread the virus around the around the campus, and my son became unwell, she said. He first presented with flu-like illness, and we took him to our GP at Hillcrest Medical Center, and we're told that he just had a bad dose of the flu. Yeah, well, it's exactly what measles feels like, because I had German measles when I was... I had the red measles as a kid, and then I had the German measles, which is the one-day or two-day measles. I had that when I was like 22.
Really?
Yeah, and I felt like I had the flu until... one day, I was over visiting my mom, and, you know, mothers being mothers, I had my shirt off, and she goes, "You have the measles." I said, "What are you talking about?" And I looked down the down my side, and I saw these red spots. I said, "Holy God." And she was laughing, you know, because my mother has had every, I guess she'd had every disease known to man, and was, you know, immune. So... let's listen in here now. This mom who didn't give her son the measles vaccine. He had the flu. 2 days later, I went back because I wasn't happy about Cameron's health. Well, I bet you weren't. I was quickly told that I had better take him to the hospital emergency department myself, as I'd be faster than an ambulance. He deteriorated quickly and had all the symptoms from a red face and neck, white lumps on the inside of his cheeks, conjunctivitis, nausea, dizziness, and sensitivity, a cough, runny nose, and a fully developed body rash. The poor kid was miserable. Thanks, Mom! Cameron was put in isolation. It was there that he was diagnosed as having measles. He spent 3 days in a hospital on oxygen. It was one of those things where I had made the informed decision at the time, not... you know, this is these people with the informed decision... you made the wrong decision. You didn't make the informed decision, because there's a lot of people that were informed that were giving their kids the measles vaccine. You try to tell me that the people that were still vaccinating their kids were making the uninformed decision? No, they weren't. You were making an uninformed decision. These people who butcher things so bad that someone almost dies, and then they come back with this. Well, I made the informed decision. It was the right decision at the time. This is part of this new era of, I don't know what the hell you want to call it, man. It's like nobody's wrong, you know. Little kids, they can play baseball and not have to, you know, score runs, and nobody loses. And the whole thing about, you know, we always build our kid up to think he's the greatest thing in the world, so, you know, he never has an inferiority complex. And, you know, like I say, all that does is the kid goes out into the world and gets into the first person to tell him he's a slob. He goes into all kinds of you know, identity crises over that. And the first time he says to someone, the wrong person, you know, I'm special, he gets his freaking teeth lodged in his stomach, and he's just as confused as, you know, as can be. What the hell happened? My mother told me I was special. Yeah, well, you're not special around here. You imagine when Paul, remember that movie we saw the other night? What was the name of that movie we saw?
That's The Hustle.
The Hustler. Paul Newman.
Yeah, that movie was out of that, man. I rocked. I love that movie.
Yeah. Well, you remember when he got his thumbs broken by those guys because he was hustling them?
Yeah, that bitching. They busted his thumbs good.
Yeah. Well, just imagine that. Paul Newman could have played the part of today's modern kid, now an adult. I'm a special person. Really? You just hustled us out of like $20, so watch what happens to your thumbs. What if Paul Newman was one of those kids? He felt like, what happened to my thumb? As a matter of fact, he was kind of like that.
Yeah, he went over to his girlfriend's house, man. They busted my thumb. Yeah, he was falling like a baby.
God rest his soul, Paul Newman, great actor. That character you were playing in The Hustler, Paul, Mr. Newman, sir, was like one of these kids today. You were all bawling about getting your thumbs busted. What'd you think was going to happen? So here's this woman. Oh, man. She made the informed decision based on good, sound information. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. Now, see, this woman, her son almost died. He almost died. But that's not good enough for her, because if you went up to her and said, you know, you did not make the informed decision, you made a stupid decision, she'd get all pissed off and indignant. Even though her son was in intensive care and almost died, she'd be, I made the informed decision based upon good, sound information. But it's so important to make sure the information you're basing your decision on is from a credible source and that you revisit it. Isn't that a nice, fancy way of saying I'm an idiot? Best practice and advice is always changing. I didn't do that in Cameron's case, and it was not a good feeling seeing my son as vulnerable as he was. It was very scary. He was just so weak and sick. This woman, you know, I automatically don't like her, because she's talking in all of that touchy-feely speak that I hate.
That's all I thought. I made the most of a sound decision.
Yeah, and then they just go like, just revisit, you know?
Yeah, revisit. I got something for you to revisit. I mean, you seemed to like it the first time. These people, I'm going to tell you something right now. I haven't bought into this at all. This bull crap about don't get your kid immunized. You're putting other kids at risk. You're putting everybody at risk, okay? But you don't want your kid. Her son didn't get autism. He wasn't immunized. He didn't get autism. But guess what? He got the measles and he could have died. And I bet you if the kid would have died, maybe this woman would still be... Well, I made the best decision based upon the sound advice of the most credible... Blah, 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 blah. Your kid's dead, but at least he didn't get autism.
Didn't come down with autism.
Yeah, he didn't come down with autism. He came down with measles. And now he's dead. All right, we're going to come back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. God almighty, I'm telling you, nothing like this pisses me off more. These dopey, dopey people. All right, we'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL is our number, but this is our news and information hour. We'll be right back.
Truth.
Oh, there's all kinds of measles news, man.
The Phil Hendry Show.
Stand by. Just, what the hell? Oh, I'm sorry. That was the wrong thing. Well, okay. You guys...
Do an Iron Swine next segment.
Next segment in Iron Swine. Turn the fan off, please, Robert.
Sorry.
All right, so in Iron Swine?
Yeah, we got an Iron Swine. Man, we got an Iron Swine all set up for next segment on Iron Swine.
Yeah.
I think I know what it's going to be about.
Don't tell nobody.
Okay. So, Iron Swine coming up next segment, starring Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. Meanwhile, I have, I believe, the locale of this story on this woman who made the informed decision based upon the best possible information, but then the source wasn't credible. How can you call it the best possible information, but the source wasn't credible? That's killing me. It's New Zealand. And don't think that because it's New Zealand that that makes them dumber than us, man. You know, all over America, man, is women just like this lady. Now, you know, I mean, to be kind, she had the guts to come out and say, hey, you know. But then let's face it, her kid was almost dead. Her kid was in intensive care with the measles. I had the measles as a child. I had the measles when I was, I forget how old I was, man. I'll tell you when it was.
What?
I'll tell you exactly the week that I had the measles. I had the measles for 2 weeks because I remember reading the sports page because, you know, it was the week that Paul Hornung and Alex Karras were both suspended from the National Football League for gambling.
Oh, okay, man. I can look that up.
Somebody look it up. That's when I had the measles because I remember looking at the sports page and I was laying in bed. I'd been, I'd been out of school. And even then, I was a little sports fan, and I looked and I remember the headline. Alex Karras, Paul Hornung suspended from the National Football League. They've been caught gambling. And they hadn't even been gambling. I think they were gambling on their own team. So it wasn't like they were gambling against their team. But it was serious enough that Pete Rozelle threw them both out of the league, I think, for a season. Karras, Hornung might have wound up retired. I don't know what the hell happened, but they both came back, and it was all squeaky clean and everything good. That's when. So I had these measles. And I'm telling you right now, I'm speaking from experience, you don't want the measles. I had a fever that was well over 100 degrees. So did my younger sister, Marianne. I still remember that poor baby. She was in the next room. I was in my parents' room. And we were both sick at the same time. And Marianne, my younger sister, had a terrible fever. My mom, I remember her being really worried. I had such a bad fever that at one point I got out of the bed and started wandering around the house. I was delirious. And my mom found me wandering, down the hall, and she had to put me back into bed. I remember getting out of the bed and starting to walk around. I was that messed up. I was in a bad state, man. And it lasts for 2 weeks. And it's a terrible thing. So it doesn't surprise me at all that that poor kid was on oxygen and was hospitalized and was probably getting just, you know, antibiotics and antiviral, whatever it is they could think to give him, you know? That's how I got immunized against measles. I had to get it. We didn't have a measles vaccine. We had polio. Thank God for that. Jeez. You know.
What's that?
Polio? You never heard of polio?
Uh-uh.
Polio will paralyze you, man.
Yeah, man. Remember that guy we saw had them little tiny legs? Well, anyway.
Yeah. That guy. All right. Don't talk about people like that, okay?
Well, he did.
Yeah, the guy had little shriveled up legs. All right. Fine. That's what polio does to you. Don't be talking about it like it's a curiosity. Yes, that's right. That's what polio will do. It paralyzes you and it atrophies the limbs and they don't develop. And it, for some young people, it killed them. It was horrible. Horrible. And the polio vaccine came along just in time for me, for my generation. We were able to get the polio vaccine, man. Thank God for that. I mean, I guess all things being equal, I'd rather have measles than polio, I'll tell you that. But that freaking measles, man, that ain't. And I had it all, man. The one thing I didn't get were the mumps. And so I really got to sweat that.
Yeah, man, some old lady, man, she don't give a kid a mump vaccine.
If there's a, yeah, if I'm around some kid with the mumps, my ass is up for grabs. You know, that's why when I first got married and I asked Maria, I said, have the kids been immunized? She said, yeah, they've all got, okay, great, you know, at least I know that they are, but can't they carry the virus? I mean, I used to sweat that, man. The first year I was married, I was sick that whole winter because I had every kind of virus that is known to, I mean, I had all these kid viruses I was getting nailed by.
What do you mean?
I mean, they were coming back with all kinds of kid disease. Man, I had never been, I was a bachelor, a lifelong bachelor. I was around adults. Now, all of a sudden, I'm in kid world.
Man, kid world, man, I'm going to kill you.
Kid world will kill you quicker than a bullet. You know.
Yeah, you're going to get kid world disease.
Man, these kids are coming back from school, and they got every, I don't know, whatever cold or sickness or virus or flu or whatever the hell it is their friends had, the kids are coming back, and I had it. So, man, that whole summer, I was never healthy. And then, of course, I had something I hadn't had for years. I had stomach flu. It sucked, the whole thing. So at least, you know, the whole measles thing, man, I got that out of the way. But, brother, if you're a mother or a father and you think it's funny or you think there's, you're not going to immunize your kid against measles because you're afraid, you know, you just heard what the lady said. She had her head up her ass is basically what she said.
Well, she didn't say that.
Yeah, well, yes, she did. That's exactly how I read it. Well, I made the informed decision. She made the informed decision, but guess what? It was based on not a credible source. So, no, that wasn't an informed decision. So basically she said, if she was truthful, hi, I had my head up my ass, and then my kid was fighting for his life. Great. Because, you know, that's what happened. So I've been down that measles. If you want your kid to be laying there with a 104-degree temperature and he looks like death warmed over and, you know, he may die, you go right ahead and not immunize a kid against measles or any of that other stuff because you're afraid of, what is it, autism? Oh, would you get real? All right. Iron Swine is coming up next, right?
Yeah, Iron Swine, man. I'm going to visit some of them.
All right, we'll be right back. World famous as Iron Swine fights the anti-immunization hysteria. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. Woo!
Show present Iron Swine. Iron Swine. And today Iron Swine is called out
to a lady's house who's not going to get her kid measles inoculation.
Thanks, Wayne.
Yeah. Hey, my kid went to school.
Yeah?
And anyway, he came back. He said he think one kid ain't got no, like, the kid's got measles and everything.
What do you mean?
We saw a kid had spots on his face and afraid maybe he going to get it, too.
Did you immunize your kid?
You mean like get a shot?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
So somebody didn't get an immunization.
Iron Swine gets in the Iron Swine car. And he shows up at a lady's house. Oh, come in.
Yeah, this is Iron Swine. Did you get an immunization on a kid?
No, I don't want my kid to be autistic.
Not artistic, artistic.
I don't want an art... Autistic?
Autistic.
I don't want my kid to be autistic.
Autistic.
Okay, he said it right.
Anyway, you don't want your kid to be autistic. What's that supposed to mean?
If you get a measles immunization, your kid gonna look like a retard and stare at the sky.
What are you talking about? Don't you understand? If you don't get the measles, the kid'll die.
Bullcrap.
No, that's too bad. I'm gonna give your kid the shot.
No, please don't.
Yes, I am.
No, now my kid's gonna walk around like a retard.
He already does.
I tell you, man, he's just listening to his iPod.
Iron Swine saved the day by getting another kid a measles inoculation.
Iron Swine, brought to you by
the Measles Inoculation Center. Go get a kid get your kid a measles inoculation.
Is that it?
Yeah.
It's called inoculation, okay?
How come every time we do an Iron Swine, you always got some critique?
Well, you guys are... No, it's fine. It was great. It was funnier than hell. I like the part where you said the kid just walking around looking at the sky.
Yeah, that's what autistic kid do.
Well, we don't know that. All right, so very good. Iron Swine saves the day there, getting the kid the measles bidoculation, huh?
Well, what do you call it?
Inoculation. Measles immunization. Immunization. If you look it up and you know how it's spelt, bud, God.
Immunization.
Yeah.
There you go, an inoculation. So I take it Iron Swine then is pro-inoculation.
Yeah. Iron Swine says to you moms, go get your kid binoculated.
We could even do a public service announcement, you know, like they do with Crime Dog.
Yeah, that'd be great.
You want to do one, bud?
All right. Hi, Mom, this is Iron Swine. Make sure your kid get a measles inoculation. He's not going to walk around staring at the sky or fingering himself. He's going to be...
Wait a second. Hold on. What is that supposed to mean?
Talk about autism.
Yeah.
Well, then say autism. Don't say walking around looking at the sky fingering himself.
Well, I don't know what it is.
Going to do a public service announcement? Do it right.
Mom, I know a lot of you worry about your kid being autistic and everything. You know, walking around with his eyes rolled back in his head. But
hold on. What do you got to make a comment like that? Just say autistic.
All right. Yeah, baby. This is FM 93.
You come on. Do it right.
Sorry.
All right.
This is Iron Swine. Mom, make sure your kid get a measles inoculation. He's not going to get autism.
Yeah, that's perfect. That's got it.
Yeah, you nailed it, man.
What's the matter with it?
That's fine. It's fine. Let's get out of here. Okay, great. So, yeah, Mom, make sure the kids get inoculated. Iron Swine says so. All right. Fingering himself. There was a fight in the NBA. Do you want to hear about that?
Yeah.
All right, well, apparently it was Meta World Peace that got involved. Let me just see if I have any update. Ah, shoot. I don't think I have the update, but there was a fight in the NBA involving Meta World Peace. Get up. These measles stories, dude, are freaking out of this world. God almighty, that's insane. There's like 58 measles stories. Is it that bad?
Yeah, it's all over the place.
Good Lord. I don't know, man. It was a story having to do with the Lakers, I think, and there was some sort of fisticuffs. Here's the roundup, man. Maybe it'll be in here. I had the story. I apologize, folks, but something got lost in the mix when we were doing something else. Wizards, the Pacers, Pistons. I blew it. I blew it. I don't have it. In any event, Tim Duncan scored 18 points. The Spurs clinched the top playoff spot in the Western Conference. They pushed their win streak to 8. They beat the Portland Trail Blazers. It's another number one seed for the Spurs, who somehow made this 6th one in the Duncan era even more surprising than getting here last season. 2 days before Duncan turns 36, the NBA Standard Bearers beat out the young Oklahoma City Thunder for ultimate home court advantage. Wesley Matthews had 24 points for the Trail Blazers, who lost their 6th in a row and have 1 game left at a tumultuous season in which the franchise effectively hit the reset button. But that Oklahoma City team, how do you figure that?
Man, that used to be the Seattle Sonics.
How do you figure a city like Seattle can't support a basketball team? I ain't saying Oklahoma City is, you know, that's the first major league franchise in the history of Oklahoma City. Okay?
They had a USFL.
USFL don't count, man. I'm talking about big time. NBA, NHL, Major League Baseball, NFL. Big time USFL. That's the first one. And no doubt, you know, they're going to be a good friend. The Orlando Magic. There's an example of a medium market, medium-sized market. Orlando's not, I wouldn't call a major market. It's a medium-sized market. But they love their basketball. They love their hoops, baby. And, there's a few towns. Portland, there's another example. Not a big city. Utah, Salt Lake City. Love basketball in Salt Lake City. Now Oklahoma City. And it could very well be that the NBA, you know, the NBA started in similar markets, not exactly.
Yeah, what the NBA is where?
The NBA started in places like Rochester, New York, Fort Wayne, Indiana. They had the Fort Wayne Pistons before they had did you know that, Robert?
No.
The Fort Wayne Pistons moved to Detroit.
I didn't know that. I thought they're in Detroit.
They're in Detroit now, but they used to be in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Guess where the Philadelphia 76ers were up until the 60s? Now, I'm talking about the 1960s when everything was finally sort of big league. I mean, the NFL was in big league cities, and so was Major League Baseball. They were in Syracuse, New York.
What was?
The Sixers, man. The Philadelphia 76ers were in Syracuse. They were called the Syracuse Nationals. And so it goes. And so the NBA's roots are in these cities that they gradually moved out of. Rochester, Syracuse, and they were all these sort of northwestern cities that were small. They were in New York, and they were in, they weren't even in Chicago. They were in Boston, you know. But they were not in any other really, truly big city. And so what does that mean? Well, it means a couple of things. First of all, a basketball team is not an expensive operation when it comes to just the overhead. Forget about salaries now. I'm not talking about salaries. But when you're talking about, okay, how much is going to cost me to rent an arena and to buy a bunch of shorts and shirts, you know?
Yeah, you think about it that way.
No, that can't be all that expensive.
No, it's not. 13 guys on a squad, shorts, sneakers, shirts, and a ball. Okay, so, you know, in comparison to every other sport, even baseball, which doesn't seem to require all that much in terms of equipment, baseball, basketball is a low overhead sport when it comes to that. And then, of course, the arena. You know, well, how big do I, a 20,000-seater? Boom, there you go. And it's all good. All the bread that they make in basketball, all the money that the players make is obviously from television rights. It's that merchandise money. It's that TV money. That's where basketball is elevated to the level of any other major league sport in terms of the salaries that the players can demand. Because forget about the gate. Who gives a crap? You know, it's important. Because it gives you a sense of just exactly how well-rooted in the community you are. But the fact of the matter is, if you didn't sell any tickets to any basketball games, it sounds crazy, but if you didn't sell one ticket, but you were still kicking ass with the merchandise and you had all that broadcast money, who cares? But the fact is, you know,
Yeah, the NBA, they're not going to keep nobody in a city.
No, no, the NBA is not going to want a franchise. But, you know, Charlotte, New Orleans, these franchises, these cities where they can't seem to pull their head out of their ass for love or money in terms of how to run the organization, how to market it properly, how to get it rooted in the city properly. They had the Jazz, gone. Now they got the Bobcats. They suck. You know, how many times at bat do you want to be at bat before you figure it out? It's kind of like the same thing in hockey, you know, where they had the two teams in Atlanta and now they're gone. Not that I give a crap about hockey, but there you go. So the Oklahoma City Thunder, newly arrived from Seattle, kicking ass.
Y'all say that, man. And that, like the guy said, they got a young team.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of Thunder fans out there. They just like the idea. They like the brand, and they like the idea that it's a new city, and they do have a lot of young players. And who knows, man? Me, I'm not that much of an underdog fan. I like my traditional teams, okay? And even the Spurs ain't traditional enough for me. So the Sixers looking to clinch as well. The Bucks have been eliminated. The Milwaukee Bucks. There's another one. Milwaukee has got a baseball team. Their football team is 90 miles away in Green Bay.
They got no hockey?
They ain't even got a professional. No, they don't have a Major League Hockey team in Milwaukee. Milwaukee is, you know, it's not that big of a city. It's a big city, sort of. And then the Pacers. Okay, so there's the sports news for today. We'll take a break. We'll be right back and get our heads out of our asses. I don't know what happened to that story about Meta World Peace, but I got to find that thing. And we'll be back to, here it is. No. Sorry, folks.
Phil will have his head out of his ass pretty soon.
Thanks. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth.
Maybe we'll do an Iron
Swine. Bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Iron Swine helps Phil get his head out of his ass.
Famous Phil Hendry Show.
Iron Swine, as we try to help Mr. Hendry get his head out of his ass.
Get out of here.
Yeah, I just pulled his head out of his ass. Yay!
All right, fine. I got my head out of my ass. Actually, I found the story. World Peace faces NBA discipline for violent blow. Here it is, man. The Lakers jersey says World Peace on the back. The player wearing it is still Ron Artest, and he's in trouble again, or Artiste. He's in trouble again with the NBA. Meta World Peace was pounding his chest with his right arm in celebration of a dunk over two opponents on Sunday when his left arm suddenly flew out, landing a vicious backward elbow to James Harden's head and dropping the Oklahoma City guard to the hardwood. Within seconds, the roars of the crowd fell silent as fans watched in disbelief the latest act of violence by a player who changed his name last year to promote peace. World Peace is likely to be sidelined when the Lakers open the postseason this weekend and possibly longer. Nice move there, World. What a dumbass. What a freaking dumbass. What a thug. What a thug thing to do. You think you're a bad... Guess what, badass? Now you're out of the lineup. Why, if you could really arrange it, World Peace, what you can do, man, is really just go out and beat on somebody and see if you can't get your ass thrown out for the whole playoffs. Man, I'd be impressed then. Now, here's what I thought happened, and my good personal friend Dan Northcraft, did you see it, bud?
Yeah, it looked pretty intentional to me.
That's what Dan said. I said, well, is it possible it was a mistake? World Peace claims he accidentally clipped Harden while celebrating a dunk, yet given his history as a troublemaker, not even his teammates have any idea why he lost control for an inexplicable instant. It was unfortunate that James had to get hit with an unintentional elbow, World Peace said. I hope he's okay. Unintentional though it may be, your ass is going to be sat down. World Peace undid much of the goodwill created by his notable charity work over the past few years, when he knocked Oklahoma City's top reserve out of the key late-season game, giving him a concussion. His upcoming suspension will be just a fraction of the 86-game ban Artiste received in November 2004 when he jumped into the stands at the Palace of Auburn Hills to fight fans, precipitating perhaps the ugliest brawl in North American sports history. Was he on the Lakers back then?
I forget. I remember that fight, though. It was pretty bitching.
Yeah, it was real bitching.
Well, it was, man. I mean, what are you going to say? Yeah, if it was good, it was good.
I know, but I look at it differently. You know, you look at a brawl, and you see something that well, what do I care, you know?
Yeah, exactly. What do you care?
I don't. I guess I'm just a goody two-shoes when it comes to that stuff. His upcoming suspension is just, okay, blah, blah, blah. While the NBA's top brass watched video of the elbow and debated the length of a suspension on Monday, sports fans debated whether to give world peace another chance. Some saw his actions as an ill-timed celebration that accidentally hurt a player standing too close, while others thought the Lakers forward should be suspended indefinitely, perhaps even banned from the NBA. Now, Dan Northcraft believes it was intentional. He believes that world peace should be put back in chains and sent back to Africa. No, he doesn't.
Did he really say that?
No, he didn't. I'm kidding. But I'll tell you, the situation is such where Bud, Robert, I hate to say this, but I think some of these players do need to be sent back to Africa.
Are you kidding?
No, man, you got to be kidding. I'm kidding.
God, why do you do that, man?
Because you guys do it. Look at the look on your face.
Well, man, how do I know you're joking around?
What, do you care? You think I really mean that? Boy, you guys are easy, man. God, one of these days I'm going to clip both of you guys on a bet, some kind of a bet, where I'm going to make some, maybe after payday, I'm going to grab you guys and bet you big time. What a couple of suckers. You know what? I haven't even played you guys in poker.
Well, I don't know, man. Sometimes, look at all the people write letters and stuff. They think you're serious, too, about half the stuff you do.
Oh, they do not. I'm just telling you, you should have seen the look on your face when I said, send them back to Africa. You were, like, ready to crap.
Yeah, it looked pretty funny.
And you too, bud. Look on your face. All right. The world-famous Phil Henry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Our website, philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. Get over there and get a backstage pass while they're, while they can still be godded. Because I'll tell you what, man, they are, it is one of the hottest items this holiday season. Whichever holiday season you want to talk about, it's our backstage pass. Okay, looking at other news before we call it a night here on this Monday night. I think we had a pretty good time tonight, although that Dr. Sadler, man.
Yeah, what's that guy's problem?
Well, that whole guy, I mean, just because he's a doctor doesn't mean that I'm going to believe all the fancy words he uses.
What are you trying to say, a laryngectomy?
A laryngectomy, man, that don't even exist. So if you take a look at the homepage, you will see a log for tonight's show, and you'll see all of that marvelous stuff that took place on our show. All right, so Californians are going to be voting to abolish the death penalty. This is the latest California thing. I will not be voting to abolish it. I will be voting to continue it. California voters, though, will soon get a chance to decide whether to replace the death penalty with life in prison without the possibility of parole, a measure to abolish capital punishment in California qualified for the November ballot on Monday. If it passes, the 725 California inmates now on death row will have their sentences converted to life in prison without the possibility of parole. It would also make life without parole the harshest penalty prosecutors can seek. Backers of the measure say abolishing the death penalty will save the state millions of dollars through layoffs of prosecutors and defense attorneys who handle death penalty cases, as well as savings from not having to maintain the nation's largest death row at San Quentin State Prison. Meaning, what they're saying there is all of the appeals that it takes. Those savings, supporters argue, can be used to help unsolved crimes. If the measure passes, $100 million in purported savings from abolishing the death penalty could be used over 3 years to investigate unsolved murders and rapes. You know, I might have been born at night, but I wasn't born last night, man. Now, if you want to get rid of the death penalty, you can vote to get rid. Don't try to tell me that you're doing it to save money. And don't try and even begin to tell me that you're doing it because, hey, life in prison, what a much worse crime. No, man, you're doing it because it's a morality play that we've seen before. And you want to get rid of the death penalty because it's just ever so bad. And you don't want to go down the hippie road because you don't think California voters will buy it. And you're probably right. So you go down the save money road. I don't think so. All right, we'll talk about it more someday. The world-famous Phil Henry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and Phil Henry. Join us online at philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com for all of your Phil Henry Show needs. I'm Phil Henry. See you tonight. Until then, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Henry.
Lesson for you.
All right, I blew it.